in the early 80s, when I was working at the Methodist Church in Lincoln Square, she was there. I didn't know who she was, but she was doing a sound check for a concert later that evening. And I just kind of stood at the doorway and listened and was really taken by her voice, as was most everybody when they heard her for the first time. And so I think it was that memory in 2004 that just made me want to get in touch with her. So I did it through her manager, and she came. She had not been singing, it's a couple of years. So this was really her first performance in some time, and I think she was eager to get back. At the same time, there was a little bit of trepidation, feeling that maybe she wasn't quite ready to do that. So she came here for the weekend, asked to have 24 hours to herself. So I think she was getting it together and planning her program. She never really had a program as such. When I said to her, well, what shall I put in the program for what you're going to sing? And she said, well, I never do that, she said, because I never quite know what I'm going to do until I just come out and feel the audience and see where they are. So she said, just put Jean Redpath Sings. So that's what we did, and that's when we first met, and wrote a little thank you note. And a few days later, I got an email from her directly. And from that time on, we were just really, it was as though we'd known each other for a long time. And we became friends. My husband and I were invited over to her house in Ely in Scotland. And we did that for 7 summers, went over and spent 3 weeks with her. And she made sure that we saw the Scotland that she was so in love with.
How long did she end up staying with you?
When we went over there, then I said to her, well, when you come here, you must stay with us. Now, her plan, her modus operandi, if you will, was to be in Scotland for 3 or 4 months, and then she spent the rest of her time in the States. In fact, she spent more of her time in the States from the time she was 19 and came over here. She was a dual citizen, so she had some restrictions on how many days and so forth. So for many years, from that time through the end of February, she would go out to Arizona and visit her friend out there. I always did her taxes in Arizona for some reason. I don't know. But she was here for several months at a time for many years. So we kind of had a sisterly relationship, I would say.
Well, what I have to interject here, having been especially on the tour, but also just countless chorale rehearsals where she came and hung out with us, there was nothing celebrity about her.
No, she was very, just like an ordinary, that's why I say it's a very sisterly relationship. After I got over the fact that she really was who she was, just entranced with the choir, she really, I didn't coerce her to come to those rehearsals. She looked forward to them. She was a solo singer, and so hadn't had much experience with choirs as such, and really wanted to be with us. And I remember we were going to Italy when I first met her, and she said something like, well, if you'd come to my country, I would at least come with you. I said, really? And immediately began making plans, Scotland, and that's how that tour arose. But right, she was a very genial, easy to get to know, and met people well and formed relationships easily.
Talking about the sisterly relationship, do you have a favorite song that the two of you performed together?
Well, first of all, I was very self-conscious singing in front of her, and it took me months before I even opened my mouth, because her voice, as you know, was very distinct and not at all like mine. And so one day when we were in Scotland, we visited St. David's Kirk, as they called the churches over there. It was the Sailor's Church, and it was right down on the banks of the North Sea there on the eastern coastal Fife waterway, walkway. And she begged me to sing for her. And so finally, with her being around the corner and not visible, I sang, I think, a chorus of Amazing Grace or something, very self-consciously. And after that, she said, well, we should learn some duets together. And she said, it'll be easy. You know, it's English. It's in English. You'll be fine. Finding out that her English and my English were really not the same at all.
When was the last time that that you and Jean spoke?
We did an enormous amount of communication by email. When I tell you that after we were first friends after that first performance, we probably were on email 3 times a day for a long time. And then occasionally she would call from Florida, and then she would call from Arizona when she was there. And we would talk, as I mentioned before, across the pond, just checking in. So I can't remember our last phone conversation, but our last email, she wrote me a long email from Ely, her home. It took every bit of strength that she had to get herself across the ocean this last time. She left the States in about the end of the first week of June. So I got about 5 long emails from her. And the last one, I think, was the very end of July. And when I didn't hear from her, it was always a bad sign because Jean was not one to let you know when things were wrong. If you've been on Facebook, you know that there have been a lot of people who have responded and found their own little cuts of Jean singing here and there and posted them. It was really like family when she came here. And that's how we decided that if she was going to spend time here, I said to her, and I wanted her to, but I said, "You're going to be like just one of the family. I'm going to tell you where the refrigerator is and, you know, when we have." So we really shared duties. We had a very relaxed relationship. Otherwise, it would have been kind of difficult to be host for 2.5, 3 months for someone. But she was just an easy person to be around, and we lived kind of as though we'd known each other for a long time.